It's my pleasure to introduce Commissioner Christine Wilson. Christine is a commissioner here at the FTC. She previously served as the chief of staff to Tim Muris and also as a law clerk in the Bureau of Competition. So it shows that all your diligence and efforts here at the agency is quite something that pays off. Thank you so much for coming back home, Christine. She also worked as Senior Vice President and Legal, Regulatory, and International for Delta Airlines, and as a member of the antitrust practice for Kirkland & Ellis and O'Melveny Myers. She also worked for Assistant Attorney General James Rill, and she just has a bio so long, again, like so many of our other colleagues, we can't go on, but we welcome her now to provide comments here at the international hearing. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you. I think when she says that I have a long bio, it means that I can't keep a job. So thank you for presenting that in a positive light. And it is good to be home. It's great to be back at the FTC. It is a wonderful institution that does fantastic work for consumers in the United States and great work cooperating with our colleagues abroad. So it's a pleasure to be back. So our next panel is going to discuss how to ensure that we have sound policies in place for international cooperation in the next decade. Before I begin, first I need to give the standard disclaimer that the views that I express are not necessarily representative of those of the commission or any other commissioner. And second, I should give a little bit of perspective about myself. As was mentioned, as a young associate, I had the privilege and good fortune to practice law with former Assistant Attorney General James F. Rill. And he is the one who instilled in me an appreciation of the great importance of participating in international competition dialogues and participating in events and activities like this. He also roped me into helping to prepare submissions to the OECD, to the WTO, to the International Chamber of Commerce, and a number of other organizations. I also had the good fortune to work with Jim on the International Competition Policy Advisory Committee, including preparing recommendations that ultimately became the International Competition Network that we know and love today. And then as Chief of Staff to Tim Muris, I had the privilege of helping to launch the ICN along with Randy and lots of other folks here and DOJ and around the world. And I've watched with pride the growth and success of the ICN over the ensuing years. I must say that the work of that group has exceeded my loftiest expectations, and I know I'm not alone in marveling at the good work that has been done under the auspices of the ICN. And so with this background, I have faith in the ability of jurisdictions to nurture constructive dialogues both in the bilateral and multilateral settings and to achieve, through cooperation, sound policies on antitrust enforcement issues. But of course, it wasn't always this way. When I first began practicing international competition policy, I was eagerly preparing the final report for ICEPAC and very excited about the work that we were doing. And I remarked to one of the relatively senior partners at the firm, this is fantastic, you know, here's what we're doing. We're doing all this great work and it's gonna be so exciting and so impactful for international competition policy. And, you know, maybe the senior partner was frustrated that I didn't have time to work on his matter, but he responded in a very frustrated tone of voice and very indignantly, there is no such thing as international antitrust. So, to protect the guilty, I'm not going to disclose his name, but boy, was he wrong. Today, antitrust law has a clear international dimension. And its internationalization reflects a number of factors, including an increase in the number of jurisdictions with antitrust laws and the increasingly global scope of many industries. And this growth has been coupled with a second significant development, the growing digitization of our economy. Apart from Microsoft, many of today's business titans didn't even exist when I graduated from law school. Not to date myself, but the internet and email also didn't exist when I graduated from law school, but that's another matter. So these technology firms are now at the center of the next great debate, whether we should abandon or at least radically alter traditional antitrust principles to address what many believe to be a technology problem. So you see a lot of discussion of this issue even in the mainstream press. In the news last month, we saw that organizations in several other jurisdictions, including the UK and Australia, have issued reports recommending significantly changing their respective competition regimes to expand their authority over big tech companies. And here at home, we see similar calls for big changes, from wide-ranging structural and behavioral remedies to changes in the underlying goals of antitrust law. For example, Senator Elizabeth Warren recently proposed rules that would break up technology companies with annual global revenues of over $25 billion. And for smaller companies, she would impose regulatory behavioral mandates. Others have called for revisions to the antitrust laws that would require enforcers and courts to consider whether the challenged conduct takes into account a wide variety of factors not typically considered in mainstream antitrust enforcement, including fairness, reducing income inequality, preserving jobs, benefiting smaller businesses, and protecting competition, workers, customers, and suppliers. And oftentimes, these calls are accompanied by conclusory statements asserting that the American economy is less competitive than in some ill-defined golden age of yore. And sometimes these claims are even supported by rudimentary statistics measuring the total number of mergers, the valuation of these mergers, or the size of the largest businesses, or even the share of, quote, the e-commerce market controlled by the largest online retailers. And all of this analysis is very flawed from a standard antitrust perspective, but nonetheless is rolled out to support a wide variety of assertions about the lack of competition in our economy. So all of this is to say, it strikes me that we are at an inflection point, and we do have important choices to make. So to name three, should we abandon our present focus on a single goal of antitrust, currently the consumer welfare standard, in favor of a standard that requires us to weigh several different factors, including some of those that I just named? Should we abandon our present reliance upon economic principles to inform our understanding of whether a given merger or trade practice is anti-competitive? And finally, should we return to the days of the U.S. Supreme Court cases Pabst Brewing and Vaughn's Grocery, when antitrust analysis began and ended with a simple rule tied to a simple number, such as prohibiting any increase above a given concentration threshold? As I've said in a number of recent speeches and statements, I myself would answer each of these questions with an emphatic no. But regardless of my views on substance, I have confidence that we are well equipped to study these questions and to reach sound conclusions. And perhaps more importantly for today's purposes, I also have confidence in the ability of the international antitrust community, including the many bilateral relationships and multilateral institutions, to examine these important questions in a constructive way. So this debate highlights the value of international engagement and the good work that Randy and his team do here at the FTC. Discussing these questions with our international partners is especially important in today's interconnected antitrust environment. The antitrust rules that we adopt in the United States may have repercussions abroad, and antitrust rules adopted by other jurisdictions may affect us here in the United States. So comparing notes with our international partners has at least two benefits. First, it helps each agency, including the FTC, sharpen its own analysis. And second, it helps us identify areas for collaboration and, if appropriate, convergence. Given the importance of these discussions, we are fortunate to have strong teams in charge of international cooperation. Here at the FTC, Randy Tritel and his team do yeoman's work, managing our extensive network of bilateral relationships with sister agencies around the globe. Our Office of International Affairs leads our daily cooperation on competition, consumer protection, and data privacy cases in order to reach compatible analyses and outcomes where possible. OIA is also instrumental to the success of our other international initiatives, including our international assistance missions and our international fellows program. And even more impressively, the office maintains high quality over a very large volume of initiatives. In 2018, the FTC conducted 24 international assistance missions and hosted 10 international fellows from foreign agencies here at home. And Roger Alford has done similar excellent work over at the Department of Justice. And we also benefit from exchanging ideas in order to promote convergence with our international partners through both bilateral relationships and multilateral organizations, including the ICN, ICPEN, and the OECD. So in conclusion, there's a growing international debate about whether and how to revise the antitrust laws, particularly as they apply to the digital economy. Given the potential impact that changes in antitrust law would have upon large global businesses, it's critically important that we think through these issues together with our international partners. Thankfully, we can lean on Randy and his team and his counterparts at other agencies around the world to facilitate this discussion and help us to identify areas for further collaboration. Of course, this meaningful international collaboration is no small victory, and certainly something I wouldn't have predicted more than 20 years ago. And now I will turn it over to our panelists to advise us on how to make the next decade of international collaboration even more successful.